Let's go ahead and stand in honor of God's Word. We're going to read a portion of Scripture here. Judges chapter 14, the life of Samson. We have learned and applied so many things to the life of Samson in just a very short period of time. Child rearing, how not to raise your children, how to raise a brat, if you want to put it that way. We've looked at that. How to find a mate, how not to find a mate. So these are very practical messages that have applied to every person in the church, especially our young people. I hope that you've listened to what happened to Samson's life and how the potential that he had, and he squandered it away. He squandered his separation away. God had called him to be separated. And so I want to preach tonight on this subject, the beginning of losing. Because when we lose things with God, when we lose power with God, when we lose favor with God, when we backslide away from God, there's always an end result, but there's always a beginning. And that beginning, many times, is very subtle, but it leads to that which can be very major. And so I want you to, once again, we're here in the life of Samson. We saw that he goes down to Timnath. He has no business going into the Philistine territory. He has a lustful desire. He bases everything in his life on that which is sightful, that which is beautiful. But when he did that, he created a beast in his life. He disobeyed his parents. His parents were not for this this union with this Philistine. You don't have to read very much of the Bible to understand that God's people were not to be involved with the people that were outside of Israel. And we even likened it when his father said, not only among your own tribe, but how about among your own people? Or how about among the people of God? So I liken that. Not only should you find a mate within the people of God, but it should be an independent Baptist. Because you're going to cause trouble if you go outside of your faith. All right, so now let's begin reading now. Let's go to verse number 4. And again, we cannot exhaust the Scriptures, but there's going to be a little snapshot of something I want to look at, just like we've been doing. And so let's read this story once again. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. And I'm going to deal with that because people go, well, yeah, Samson didn't do right, but God still used that. I will deal with that. Just hang on. And that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down. Now again, I know that's a geographical speaking, but I'm telling you, isn't it amazing that it said about Jonah that he went down, he went down, he went down, and he finally ended up in the belly of a well. So I know it's geographical, but it's also to be known that not only is Samson going down geographically, but he's going down spiritually. He went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, isn't that amazing? If you do something that you don't have to be guilty about, you should be able to tell your parents. But he actually did that which he didn't tell his parents about. Again, verse 7 says, he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother. He gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. There's significance there too. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do so. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, and that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Wow. Well, those Philistines, they're really nice people, aren't they? Yeah, just like the devil. He'll tell you one thing and do another. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, woman, be quiet. No, I'm sorry, that's not what it says. I apologize. Maybe that's what he should have said. Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days. Oh my, this is getting on my nerves already. She wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her. I'm telling you right now, the beginning of losing. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. Now that's what the Word of God says. I mean, people out there, I'm offended by the Word of God. Listen, Samson said it right. If you hadn't messed with my woman. Well, Samson, if you hadn't let your heifer get to you, you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. And I'm going to tell you right now, I just want to preach on this subject for just a few minutes, because, again, I can't exhaust all of this tonight. So I'm taking some snapshots out of this text to talk about or preach about the subject of the beginning of losing. Father, I pray that we would take the story of Samson and we would apply it to our life as we already had. The rearing of children, the finding of a mate, Lord, how that should be done correctly, not incorrectly, how it should be done in the favor of the Lord and of parents, not against the will of God, not against the Word of God, not against the authority of God. And Lord, we totally understand from the last several messages that we've looked at in the life of Samson that really one of the main problems is a disregard for authority in our life. And Lord, there's a disregard many times of authority in the life of a church and the life of a family. And Lord, it is causing havoc upon a society that we find ourselves in. I pray, God, that within the walls of Berean Baptist Church tonight, that we might understand the truths and the principles and the precepts that are even contained within the Scripture tonight. And we can understand that you make it very clear that the Old Testament and the stories that are in the Old Testament are for our ensample, that there is a principle, for a New Testament principle in almost every aspect of what we read in the Old Testament. And so, Lord, we'd never shy away from the Old Testament tonight, but the life of Samson brings us to a place of many things to learn. One of them tonight is the loss of power with you. And Lord, it always begins many times very subtly, but before you know it, we find that there's a total loss in the life of Samson, in the life of your people. God, help me to relay the Scripture tonight, the Word of God, the application. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we have kind of looked at Samson now as he goes down to Timnath. We've looked at the Philistines, what type of people they were. They were not the people of God. They were a seagoing people from Greece. They found themselves on the northern side of Israel there. They were a people that everywhere they went assimilated themselves into that culture. They have assimilated themselves. My goodness, are we okay? You don't have any idea what that was about? Well, the devil is in the details always. All right, so now don't have a heart attack. Don't ask me. It's like people, they go, now, Brother Abels, we were watching the live stream and it wasn't working. Okay, why are you telling me? I have no idea. I preach. I don't do live stream. I don't know nothing about live stream. I'm glad that people like it and I'm thankful for it, but don't ask me about it. Ask those guys about it. Don't ask me. I don't have any idea. All right. My train of thought is totally out the door. Here's what I want to do. I want you to go to chapter 16 and I want you to look at something. In chapter 16, again, I know we're back in chapter 14, but in chapter 16, I want you to see the end result of what we're looking at tonight in the beginning. The beginning of loss is the name of the message. The beginning of losing. And there is, I'm telling you, there's so many stories here and things that we're going to look at eventually. But in verse number 19, we are now come to the third woman that Samson is going to deal with in his life. There's three women. The woman at Timnath that we're dealing with right now, the harlot of Gaza, and the third and most famous would be Delilah. And so we know Delilah entices Samson, but Samson was easy to be enticed. He's already, we see that with the woman he married, the Philistine woman in Timnath. She enticed him. She was able to bring information out of him. It was all based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It was based on that. It wasn't based on character. It wasn't based on the Word of God. It wasn't based on his separation as a Nazarite. None of these things were taken into consideration when he went down to Timnath and saw this woman and began to make demands of his parents to get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But that's the beginning. But I want you to see what the end result is. And that is found in chapter number 16 and verse number 19, where it says about Delilah, she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, the representation of his physical power, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now notice that, his strength goes from him. In verse number 20, she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, and this is what he said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." Because over and over and over, God allowed Samson to get out of some of the messes that he went. But the eventual loss was this. And this is sad in the life of a church. This is sad in the life of a family. This is sad in the life of an individual. And this can happen very easily. And the beginning is very subtle. But it says this, "He wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Even though it happened. And by the way, it didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual progression of backsliding from going away from God, from losing what God had called him to do. And such as this. And so we're going to look at that. But here's what I want you to see, that it begins with losing power with God, losing favor with God begins when we disregard the authority that God has placed in our life. My friend, when we go away from the authority of our parents, when we go away from the authority of a church, I'm telling you, you're never going to have the favor of God on you if you disregard the authority of the church. You just cannot do it. Young people, if your parents, now listen, I realize, I know that we have foster parents. I've done CASA work. I've done fostering. I understand the system. We live in a wicked world. I understand all that. I'm telling you, there are things that are dealt with in our society that 50 years ago people can't even imagine what's going on today. I mean, just can't do it. But this is another message. But it all started when we began to take the Word of God out of the public school system When we begin to take prayer out, when we begin to teach our children that they're animals by teaching them evolution, then why are we totally amazed when they act like animals? So I'm just telling you, this didn't happen overnight. It's a progression that is taking place. But there comes a point, just like the nation of Israel, when God sent prophet after prophet. He sent men of God. He sent men like Isaiah. He sent Jeremiah. He sent Amos. I mean, if you're reading through your Bible, He sent all of these men. And basically it was, hey, repent, move back to God. And God continued to bring these men into their life. He continued to preach to them a repentance, but they eventually, God said, they are no more. Now, He kept Judah for a while, but the Assyrians just came in and took over the nation of Israel. And God said, they are no more. I mean, you read it. That is some of the saddest commentary in the Old Testament when it says Israel is no more. They cease to exist as the people of God. But here's what I'm saying. It doesn't just happen in the life of Israel, and it doesn't just happen in the life of Samson. It happens in the lives of God's people. Number one, when they disregard the authority in their life, and they have no... And by the way, the ultimate authority is the Word of God. Amen. So we disregard the authority that God has placed in our life, the authority of His parents. Listen, He disregarded the authority of His calling. He disregarded His separation as a Nazarite. He disregarded the Word of God. He violated the Scriptures by making demands on His parents in pursuing the Philistine woman. You say, well, preacher, you've already preached all this. It doesn't matter. We need to be reminded that all of these things are the beginning of losing. Samson is not going to win. And here's what I believe. Now, this is my own personal belief from the study, and I believe it's based on the Scripture, because it says that Samson began, meaning he never finished when it came to the oppression of the Philistines. It would not be until over 100 years later when a little shepherd boy called by God, who is a man after God's own heart, that He raised up to kill a Philistine giant named Goliath and held the head of Goliath in his hand. And it was David who enlarged the coast of Israel. It was David that put down the Philistines. It should have been Samson. And let me put it like this. Instead of going to a wedding, Samson should have been going to war. The only reason that Samson should have been going to Timnath was to do war with the Philistines, not to lust upon a woman that said, get her, for she pleaseth me well. She is not marriage material, Samson. She violates the Scripture. She violates your separation. She violates your calling. And so it all began. This beginning of losing began by going down to Timnath with a rebellious heart. Now, I don't want to have to beat a dead horse, but it is true that Samson had been given a godly heritage. He had been raised to honor the Lord. But when Samson pursued beauty and became so captivated that it would bring him into the enemy territory, not to do war, but to have a wedding. Listen, here's what happens when he goes down to Timnath. He is encountered by a lion. And I know that it is a real lion, and he rips him up like a kid. But it is even this lion that is going to cause him to be defiled by when he goes back touching a dead body, because a Nazarite was not to do that. So it reminds me of your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you right now that if it was broadcast on KY3 News in Springfield, Missouri, that a lion had been let out of its cage down here at the zoo, less than a mile from where we're at right now, there would every parent would get a hold of their children. They would bring them into safety. They would wait to hear the word that the lion has been captured. Well, my friend, let me tell you, the lion is on the loose tonight. He wants your children. He wants your children. He wants to interrupt your family. He wants them to be disobedient. He wants them to be. He wants you to not tell your children no. Children need to be told no. No. And then when they say why, you can still say, because I said so. Because They know things you don't know, kids. They did you know that your parents were the same age as you were at one time? You know how you can prove it? There's pictures. Yes. But I want to look at a couple of things that Samson lost. And I know that I've used this word potential. I think every message I've preached on Samson, I've used the word potential. But did you know that Samson literally lost his potential? In verse number 4, "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Let me deal with this verse if I could. Almost every message we have preached on the life of Samson, I've said potential. And I want to remind you that the word potential means that which is possible as opposed to that which actually happens. Every person that is saved by the grace of God has great potential for God. They have great potential to do good exploits for God. But sometimes that which is possible doesn't line up with that which actually happens. And here's what I want you to understand tonight, and I want you to listen to me. God's purposes and God's plans will be accomplished because God is a sovereign God, and His plans and His purposes will be accomplished in spite of the people that disobey Him. But I want you to understand, you can never use God's purpose and God's plan to endorse your disobedience. Now here's the idea. God's going to accomplish His purpose and His plan. We should just be willing to obedient go along with Him for the ride. Because if we're disobedient, His plans and His purposes are still going to be accomplished. But when God is not permitted to rule in our lives, after all, He is the King. Remember the message this morning? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And I am just about had it with all of this religious gobbledygook that infiltrates our society. And people say, oh yeah, it's okay to worship God. You can worship God. You can worship God in your own way. But when you begin to talk about, no, Jesus Christ is the King. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the one that mandates to us. He's the one that tells us what to do. People are like, oh, now time out. Now you're going a little bit too far. Yeah. No. Yeah. He's the Lord. Amen. He's the King. And everybody can hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But when you say Jesus Christ is my King, my Lord, and it's going to dictate how I live, what I do, that's when people get a little nervous. Now again, there's a lot of things in social that are social right now in our society. And so I mentioned this in men's prayer, so this would be a good time to do it. But when you have presidential candidates talk about, listen, you can worship God any way you want, but if you don't go along with our agenda of the same-sex marriage, we'll take away your tax-exempt status. That is people who are saying, yeah, you can do what you want, but you can't do what you want. No, we still have the freedom and to preach the Word of God and to live by the dictates of our conscience based upon the Word of God. But here's the deal. Whether the politicians say we can or we can't, we still need to do what God tells us to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. Samson lost his potential. When God is not permitted to rule in our lives, He can and will overrule and work out His will in spite of our decisions. But I'm telling you, here's what you need to understand. When we're not obedient, when we do not do the will of God, it is not God who suffers. It's we that suffer. We're the one that suffers. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Samson should have been going to the war with the Philistines. And I'm telling you, I'm reminded in 2 Samuel 11 concerning David, the great king, and the man who was his one blight that everybody knows about. But here's what 2 Samuel 11 says in verse number 1, and it says that at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David basically stayed home and sent Joab. David was the king. David should have been at the battle. David should not have been in Jerusalem at that time, according to what the Bible says. And Samson should not have been in Timnath, not for a wedding. David stayed at home when he should have been in the battle, and tragedy came into his life. And I'm going to tell you, God will accomplish His purposes with us or in spite of us. So don't tell me, verse number 4, God was allowing the disobedience of Samson. No, think of it this way. If Samson was able to accomplish the work that he did, imagine what he would have accomplished if he had been obedient to God. Let me give you some things. Look at Judges 14 and verse number 19. These are just snapshots real quick. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them, took their spoil, gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So there he killed 30 men. Judges 15, verse 1 through 5, he burns the enemy's crops. Judges 15, 7 and 8, Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt at the top of the rock Etam. The Bible says in Judges 15, down in verse 15, again, quick snapshot, he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Son. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know if this is true, and so just let me hang on to this. When I get to heaven, I hope the Lord lets us see all this stuff. I believe there's a movie theater, not a wicked movie theater, but the kind that'll let us see, that God might let us see things like this. I don't know about you, but I want to see a guy take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 men. I want to see those mighty men of David that was down in that hole fighting that lion-like man. I want to see that. I want to see David fight Goliath. I want to see that rock upside his head. I want to see him cut that head off. I want to see the blood dripping off of his head. I want to draw it downstairs in the hallway down there. And my wife thinks it's morbid, but I think it's a man of God that killed. I think our kids need to see that kind of stuff. Amen. The real question tonight is, what would God have done if Samson had been obedient? He lost his potential. Look at verse number 5, and when he goes down to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and then we know that he killed the lion, and then we know he goes back and he takes the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, I think this would be a good time for us to go to Numbers chapter number 6. The book of Numbers, just back a little bit, back before Deuteronomy. You got the book of Numbers. And Moses is given all kinds of instruction for the people of God on how to live, the order of the camps, how they were, when they were to go somewhere, how they were to line up in relationship to the ark, how they were to live among each other, the laws that would take place, the judgments that would take place. God gave them a handbook on how to live. And in chapter 6, he begins to talk about this Nazarite vow. And it says in chapter 6 that the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Now let me tell you something. Every child of God is called to separation. Amen. Separation is a word people just, they don't want to hear it today. But we're called to be separated. Amen. In every aspect of our life. That's a New Testament principle. Verse number 3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried grapes. Now, it sounds to me like that a Nazarite shouldn't be hanging out in a vineyard. And it goes on to say, moist, dried, liquored, stay away from grapes. Now, if God tells you to stay away from grapes, you shouldn't be in a vineyard. Now, go on. Verse number 4, and all the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of a vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow, his separation, there shall no razor come up on his head. Well, now that's about the only thing that Samson obeyed in. Until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy and shall let the locks of his hair, of his head grow. All the days he separated himself unto the Lord, look at this, he shall come at no, what does it say? Dead body. Now is everybody getting the picture in our story that Samson begins to lose his separation purpose in the sense? He goes into a vineyard. In fact, verse number 5 said, he went to Timnath, came to the vineyards of Timnath. Listen, a young lion would not roar against him in the vineyard if he had not been in the vineyard. Amen. Samson would not have seen a woman of Timnath that he had no business seeing if he hadn't gone down to Timnath in the first place. You begin to lose when you begin to lose, when you lose your authority, when you have disrespect for your authority, and then you also lose when you begin to go places you're not supposed to be. I've never understood this, but I totally understand it, how young people can go to a camp somewhere, and you have people in one camp, you have a church that has, they bring their kids on one bus, and another one comes from a totally different state. There may be some kind of semblance of they know each other, like-minded or whatever, but you bring people from a camp from Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. They meet at this camp. Like when we used to go to Triple S, we went to Triple S for many, many years. And we would take young people to camp. And we would usually go on the week of combination week. Because if you're going to do it, just do it once. Amen. Anyhow, that's a different story. And you go down there and they all get out of the bus. And there's people that you're praying for, you know, God, use this camp. I got some young people here that, man, they're on the verge. I mean, they're wavering about whether they're going to serve God or not, blah, blah, blah. And inevitably, as soon as you let them out, the people that are giving you the trouble always find the people that are giving the other churches trouble. It's like magnets. Samson was like that. Wherever he could lose his authority, wherever he could lose his separation, wherever he could, that's where he was a magnet. And he loses his purpose. If he had not been there, he would not have been attacked by the lion. His parents, who were not for the marriage. But can I say this? And this is heartbreaking. But the parents here eventually gave in. Let me tell you something, parents. When you tell your children no, then don't say yes. And don't change your standards because you got a kid that turns 13 years old. I'm just telling you this. The Bible doesn't change when your kids turn to be 14 or 15. And I'm telling you, they eventually did what Samson wanted him to do. That's how you raise a brat. So his parents were not for the marriage, but they gave in to their child. He was able to overpower the lion this time. Did you hear what I said? He was able to overpower the lion this time, but by the time we read chapter 16, verse 20, he was not able to overpower the lion. You understand what I'm saying? He began to be defiled. The beginning process of losing his power with God was right here. Disobeyed his authority. Disobeyed his calling. Disobeyed his separation. And God helped him even though he was wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. And God will forgive. But I'm going to tell you, when you open up the scar of sin, when you open up the wound of sin, you'll deal with the scar of sin, even though there's forgiveness. And Samson rebelled against God's warning. He overcame the lion, but fell victim to the enemy in a different form. Look at verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Now, here's where I believe he lost his power. And I know that's a snapshot. But in verse number 8, he turns aside to see the carcass of the lion. He sees the swarm of bees. He saw the honey in the carcass of the lion. He took thereof in his hands And he went on eating. And he came to his father and his mother and gave them. And they did eat. But you see, it's just a little thing. It's just a little defilement of touching a body. It's just a little defilement of going to a vineyard. I'm going to tell you something. When Samson turned aside in verse 8, I believe he literally went the way of pride. Now, I want you to know, and I know that you know this, but you need to hear it. The principle of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15 comes into play. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Timnath is the world. Timnath is the world, the vineyard. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, look at this, the lust of the flesh, get her for me, she pleaseth me well. The lust of the eyes, he looked at beauty and he didn't look at character. The pride of life. That's where we're at with Samson right here. And by the way, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And then it goes on to say, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, listen, abideth forever. He lost his power. He defiled himself. He was enticed. He was controlled. Listen, how do we know he was controlled? Verse 17. Because she wept before him 7 days. She wore him out. Guys, this is not the kind of character of a woman that you're looking for marriage. Because every time they get their way, you'll start doling out money just to keep her mouth shut. And you'll regret it for the rest of your life. And by the way, can I tell you this? Not only was he enticed, and not only was he controlled, but you know what? The devil always pays out in counterfeit dollars. Because in verse 17, he told her, and she told the riddle to the children of her people, and she betrayed him. Yeah, but preacher, didn't you hear that they were going to burn her house down and her father? Well, these are not the kind of people that independent Baptist people should be marrying into. Come on. This is what sin does to the compromising believer. Samson could kill lions, break ropes, but a woman brought him to the place that he found himself out of control. Now, listen, I hope you understand this. This is all real stuff for today. This just ain't for the life of Samson. The application is simple. Listen to this. Don't wander into the enemy camp. Because you'll lose your potential. Samson had mighty physical strength, and he could have accomplished great things for God. But he didn't. He began to fight the Philistines, but he never finished the job. You say, well, he killed more people at his death than he did. Yeah, but they were still a thorn in the side of the children of Israel. And 100 years later, think about this. 100 years later, they are still one of the main enemies of Israel. When David comes into the camp to see what's going on, and Goliath is standing up there defying the armies of the living God, when David said, is there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Because by defying the armies of the living God, he's defying God. You know why? Because Samson didn't do his job. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. We don't know and we don't see what God sees. But when God calls us to obedience, He expects obedience. When God calls a man to go to the mission field, He expects him to go to the mission field. If He calls a man to preach, He expects him to preach. But yet, how many stories have we heard about things like this? Well, I know God wants me to do so and so, but I'd rather do my own thing. You know what? The enemy takes a little bit more territory. And the potential of what could have been is lost. and the power is lost. And eventually what happens is you wake up one day, you try to shake yourself as you had in before times, and you wist not that the Lord has departed from you. Now, you didn't lose your salvation, but you lost the potential and the power of what God intended for you. This is real. Don't disregard the authority that God's placed in your life, your parents, the church. Everybody with me? You go, well, it's just a little bit. That's the way it starts. Nip it. Let the Holy Spirit of God show you. Repent. And get back to where God wants you to be. What are you trying to tell us, preacher? Don't be Samson. Don't be Samson. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Don't wander into the enemy camp. The beginning of losing is real. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be sensitive to what we've learned from the life of Samson, especially when it comes to raising children, finding a mate. And now tonight, Lord, the idea of not disregarding our authority, not losing our potential and losing power with God, doing our own thing. Seems like we just live in an age just like the age of judges. Every man does that which was right in his own eyes, because there was no king in Israel. And when there is no king in a man's life whose name is Jesus Christ, then man will do what man pleases to do. And the end result is a man who wist not that the Lord left him. His eyes are plucked out, and he grinds at the wheel of sin. And Samson grinded over and over and over. And I don't know, but it could be that while he was grinding around and like an oxen, that he could have thought back to where we're at in the text tonight. Oh, I wished I hadn't went to Timnath for a wedding. I should have went there to war. I should not have been disregarding to my parents. I should not have been disrespectful in my attitude when I said, get her for me to wife, for she pleaseth me well. I pray tonight that our attitude would say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Not, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 274, Brother Brian's going to lead us. Lord, I'm coming home. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, it's not too late to turn back. It's not too late. It wasn't too late in chapter 14 to Samson to turn back, but it's too late by the time you get to chapter 16. And when you look at a Philistine woman, a harlot of Gaza, and Delilah, and the character of these people, these women, this is not conducive for a Nazarite, a man who's been separated and called by God to be the judge of Israel over the Philistines. But the applications tonight are very real to God's people. You get the picture? I hope you do. As we sing,
I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Need somebody.